Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper. I am very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair. And if possible, sit with your feet flat on the floor. Although if that hurts, don't do it. And before we sit, I want to wish you a very happy new year. You're receiving this on the first day of the year, new year, whether you watch it on that day or not, I don't know, but the happy new year wishes stand. And I wanted to let you know a little bit about what we're going to be doing in these videos for the next year or beginning of the year, because things always change. But what I really want to focus on starting today is what we can do in everyday life, IRL, in real life, to bring the mind of meditation forward into everything we do. So one of the things that I personally have enjoyed about myself, about the Open Heart Project, I should say, is that, yes, I am a Buddhist. The things that we talk about are based in Buddhism, but none of it is about becoming a Buddhist or adopting any particular beliefs. Rather, it is always, to the best of my ability, about what can we draw from the vast canon of Buddhist wisdom that can help us with our everyday lives. So that's what really counts, I think. So whether we're talking about the paramitas, the six paramitas, or the four karmas, or the immeasurables, none of it is academic. It's all about IRL. How do we do these things? How can we come to an understanding of the meaning of these profound teachings so that it can support us to live a better life, a happier life, a life where we're more able to bring benefit to ourselves, certainly to those we love and to others. So we're going to be talking in the coming months about working with strong emotions because, wow, what else is there to really talk about at this point in human history? We're going to talk about heartbreak and how Buddhist teachings can help with the deepest grief. We're going to talk about things like creating a home environment that you can draw confidence from, that it's not about being neat or having expensive things, but it's about ordering your environment so that it contains you and helps you to feel grounded and strong. So please look for these things. And two more little points. Over in the Open Heart Project Sangha, which is a group within the Open Heart Project, we're going to be studying these IRL teachings in detail for 12 solid months. Every month, we're going to look at a different theme and how we can bring that theme to life in our in the way we live, love, work, creatively express ourselves, and so on. And in addition, we get together every week with myself to talk it all over. And every single morning at 9 a.m. East Coast time, there's a chance to practice meditation together with an actual teacher who's extremely well-trained and wonderful. So anyway, all the things are in there. If you have any interest in checking it out, please do. There'll be details somewhere on this page. And I'm also going to offer a program starting in March called Buddhism IRL, Buddhism in Real Life. I think it's 9 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, no, 9 weeks of studying Buddhist teachings in order to create a better life for ourselves and others. So please look for that. We're going to announce it in the coming week or so. So again, it's starts in March and 9 weeks. And then there's a bonus 10th week for people who want to discuss the Enneagram and how it can be helpful in this context, because I know there are many people who are interested in it, and many people who are not interested in it. So therefore, it's a bonus class. So let's start right now. Let's start today. And let's start with the most difficult subject that we could possibly broach. Because what the hell, let's jump in. And that subject is working with feelings of rage and heartbreak and harsh judgment, which may be well-founded on one level, and nonetheless causes great pain to the one who is judging. So I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that there aren't things that are horrible and worse, and you are entitled to your judgments. You should keep your judgments. There are things that need to be judged, and I'm not saying don't do that, because that would be stupid. You're a human being. You have to make your way through this world. You're entitled to your judgments, and they're actually important. However, they often have one very deleterious consequence. And that consequence is called separating the world into us and them. Now, no good can come of that. I'm not saying, again, that there aren't people who are doing grievous harm to other human beings, to the planet. They are. However, when we take aside that supports the diminishment of someone else's humanity, we run into trouble, because it's always going to slap back and hit you in the face. So anyway, let me try to be a little more specific. There are a lot of teachings within Buddhism that say perhaps the most important practice is loving kindness. Loving kindness for yourself, loving kindness for people you love, loving kindness for people who have taught you, benefited you, loving kindness for strangers, and the hard one, loving kindness for your enemies, loving kindness for people you don't like or hate. I know I'm not afraid to say the word hate, loving kindness for people you hate. Now, I've heard from some of you, many of you over the years that say, I cannot do that. How am I supposed to generate loving kindness for people who I think are ruining the planet, who are murderous, who are doing vile and violent injustice to others? Okay, well, that's not where we're going to start. And you don't have to offer loving kindness when you can't, because that would be silly. So two things on that point. I can't offer loving kindness to people I am really angry at. Good. You don't have to. The first person to offer loving kindness to is yourself, for your inability to offer loving kindness to others. For very good reason, I'm not suggesting otherwise, but that causes suffering when you can't offer loving kindness, again, for very good reasons. That creates more suffering for you than whoever the object is of your potential loving kindness. So start by offering loving kindness to yourself for your inability to offer loving kindness, because that's a suffering. And then you can, if you want to do the traditional practice, you can think of others, people you love, who will also have that difficulty. And you can offer loving kindness to them for their struggles to be lovingly kind. You can offer it to strangers, because everyone you meet and never meet is going to have that difficulty. And you can also offer loving kindness to your enemies for their inability to offer loving kindness. So that may sound a little complex, but the main point is start with what is. You can't offer loving kindness because you're so angry. No problem. Offer loving kindness to yourself for the suffering that anger causes and the heart closing that it generates. It's not going to be closed forever, but for now, it's very painful. And the second point and final point before we sit is, here is how you can offer loving kindness to anyone. So big statement, I know. So the first thing to recognize is you don't have to forgive anyone. You don't have to let anyone off the hook. You don't have to think, oh, well, they're suffering too. So no, you can hate them. You can hate their guts. No problem. I mean, it causes suffering for you. So in that sense, it's a problem. But the first step is not to try to overcome what you truly feel, because that's BS and not genuine and therefore will not help anyone. So you can offer loving kindness, of course, to people you love, to people who've helped you, to strangers, even to enemies, no matter how awful. It doesn't mean you forgive them. I'll just say that again. You can still hate them and offer loving kindness, which is, I hope you are relieved of your suffering, you jerk, or worse. So that's point one here. And point two is you can have any feelings you want about anyone. I just want to say that again. You can like, you can dislike, you can love, you can hate, you can reject, you can embrace. You can feel whatever you effing want. And that can be fuel for your loving kindness. However, the one thing you cannot do is think that you are any different from the person you hate. Now, of course you are. You're not a murderer. You're not a liar. You're not a dictator. You're not dropping bombs on people. Got it. But if you dig a little bit under the surface and you ask yourself, have I ever lied to get my way? Well, I have. Have I ever wished that a certain person or neighborhood or school of thought that I could bomb it, that I could just get rid of it? Yeah, I have had those thoughts. Never done it, but I've had those thoughts. I have had that impulse. Have I ever thought nothing will work unless you are gone? I have thought thoughts like that. I have had thoughts like that. So again, it's a matter of degree. If you have had thoughts like that, if you have had impulses like that, okay, you're no different. You know, again, it's a matter of degree. You're not going to act on them, presumably, but whatever caused the problem that you are so violently against, again, I'm sure for very good reason, you could have made that problem yourself if circumstances were just a little bit different. So that may sound like bullshit. Maybe it is. Investigate for yourself and see. But I will say again, the one thing that you cannot do is think that you're any different from those who are causing the suffering that is causing you so much heartache. Because A, you're not different. And B, that separates us into us and them. And whenever there's a whiff even of separating humanity into us and the people who think like we do and believe what we do and support what we support, oh, and then there's them who are the opposite and we have nothing in common. They are wrong. You know, maybe they are. But still, human beings, and when we categorize a whole population as them, terrible consequences can ensue. If there's any way we can hold on, even just a titch, to a shared humanity by recognizing perhaps that if circumstances were different, I could have been one of them. I'm not that different. Then there's some possibility to work with the situation. But the minute we shut the door, that's where great violence comes from. So please be careful with your mind. Please be careful with your heart. Please be careful with believing anything I may say, because who knows, I may be full of it. Examine it yourself and see. So just a little recap for those who are upset, rightfully so, that they can't find softness in their hearts towards people you hate. I say no problem. Don't start there, because that's self-aggression. You want to start by quelling aggression of all kinds. And this begins with offering loving kindness for yourself, for your inability to offer loving kindness in this particular moment, because that's the truth. And we always want to start with the truth. Okay, huge topic. Feel free to push back. Let me know what you think, because I always love to hear from you. And the way to begin to enter the world of only us is knowing how to work with your own mind, knowing how to catch yourself when your thought, for perhaps very good reason, is, that's the problem. You need to stop. And you're either with me or you're the enemy. I believe that the entire record of recorded history will bear me out on this, that enemies simply create more enemies, and war creates more war, and violence creates more violence. So how can we step outside of that and still hold strong for what we know is right? Well, we need to know how to work with our minds. How do you do that? Well, we're fixing to do it right now. It's called the practice of meditation. And again, if you want to sit every day with a teacher, please think about joining the Open Heart Project Sangha, because that happens every day. Okay, so we'll sit together. So please relax. And relax means allow. It doesn't mean feel calm or peaceful. It means feel what is. In Buddhism, that's called relaxing. So just be with yourself as you are. Lots of feelings, few feelings, tired, energized, whatever it is. Just relax with yourself as you are. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Sit up straight. And let the front body relax a lot. The belly. The area around your heart can soften. And let the shoulders relax. Mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, up to 6 feet, say, or 2 meters. And it doesn't matter what's there, just let your gaze come to rest. And take in the whole visual field from end to end as best you can. That should feel like a little bit of a softening of the eyes, not reaching, but receiving. Relax the brow. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means to feel the breath rather than notice the breath. Feel the inhale and the letting go of the exhale. The next inhale will just happen. You do not have to exert any effort. And come in with that inhale and dissolve out with the exhale. And again, breathing in and out. Let your mind be as it is. All thoughts come and go. There are no exceptions to this. So you can just sort of take a seat and watch them all flow by. like you're sitting on the grass watching a train, car after car after car, just goes by, but you're seated, stable, not going along for the ride, but aware of it. So you don't, no effort to stop thinking. However, if you notice that you have become absorbed in a line of thought, meaning you got on the train and now you're carried away, cool, no problem. Notice that. You can label that moment silently thinking. I've been thinking. And then just let go. Whatever the thought is, doesn't matter right now. And gently come back to this breath. Resume your seat on the grass, watching it all go by. And begin again, feeling the body breathe. That's it. That's the whole technique. So we'll sit together for a little while in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. This practice has the power to change many things. Happy New Year.